Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ until we all arrive at the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Lord, we worship, as we have just sung, we do adore you. Lord Jesus, in you, resurrected, ascended, to you is all honor, power, glory, majesty, now and forever. Lord, we worship you. And you, ascended, are the one who gives gifts, pours out gifts upon your church. Thank you, Lord. And as we look at this portion of your word this morning, may it serve to accomplish the purpose that it states, that we might be more and more and more and more like Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We have looked in Ephesians 4:11 at the provision of gifted men. We've seen that that falls into five categories: apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, and teacher. Gifted men that are gifts to the church. We have seen back in verse 7 that all believers are gifted. Each one has received a grace gift from the Lord. But we saw in verse 11 that there are some people who not only are gifted, they are gifts themselves given to the church by Jesus. And those are apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. So we won't go back through all of that this morning, but we want to see today the purpose of these gifted men and really of all of our gifts from the Lord. Now, When you look at verse 12, you see, for the equipping of the saints. For the equipping. Now, this may be obvious to some of you, maybe not so obvious to others. What is for the equipping of the saints? And you probably would want to say, well, apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers are for the equipping of the saints. And that is partially true. But what really is for the equipping of the saints from verse 11 is that Jesus gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. It is not the men who are for the equipping of the saints. It is Jesus giving the men that is for the equipping of the saints. It's not all up to apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints. Well, who's equipping the saints? Jesus is. And he's doing it through the giving of these gifts to the church. That is, he's doing it through apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. Equipping the saints. So, the first thing we see from verse 12 is that the purpose of the gifted men, of Jesus giving these gifted men, is equipping. Now, what is that? What is equipping? The word that is translated here as equipping, this same word is translated elsewhere in the New Testament in various ways. For example, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 21, you read, going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, equipping their nets, repairing their nets. It's the same word. Mending, repairing. That's what equipping is. Luke chapter 6, verse 40. Jesus said, a pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone after he has been fully trained, after he has been equipped, will be like his teacher. Fully trained. We could translate this prepared. Equipped. Fully trained. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, even if anyone is caught in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore, equip such a one. In a spirit of gentleness, each of you looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. To restore, it's the same word, to equip, to mend, to repair, to train, to prepare, to restore. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. Finally, brethren, rejoice, be made complete. That is, be equipped, be restored, be prepared, be fully trained. Be made complete, be comforted, be like-minded, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. So what is equipping? Equipping is mending. Equipping is repairing. Equipping is fully training or preparing. Equipping is restoring. Equipping is making complete. You saw all of those words. That's what equipping is. Now, there are some implications of this that in our journey through Ephesians, you should be wondering about right about now. Why must we be equipped, restored, trained, prepared, when we've seen it, haven't we, in the first three chapters of Ephesians? When we have all of the blessings in heavenly places in Christ already, we have all the riches in Christ, we are loved and forgiven, we have an inheritance, the same inheritance as Jesus. We have hope. We've been co-resurrected and co-ascended with Christ. We are in one. We have all of these riches in Christ. Aren't we already equipped? Well, yes, but. And that's why there's the ongoing need for equipping. The but is, and you know it because it's so obvious, you have all of those blessings. You know, if you're saved, you know you already have heaven. Right? You already have everything. But as you're seated here this morning, you also know I'm still in this physical body, finite, in this place. and my physical body has memory of all that I have experienced in life, and some of that has been really bad. Even those who would say this morning, well, I've just had a great life. But there have been hurts. There's been rejection. There's been emotion. There's been sickness. There's been injury. There's been loss. There have been setbacks. Now, those are the things that keep you from serving the Lord. It's not, I didn't say the hurts keep you from serving the Lord. I said your memory of them, your feelings about them, are what keep you from serving the Lord. You say, oh, I've been hurt and taken advantage of very deeply, and I won't even describe any of them this morning because they bring up the memories and the fears that you don't need to have. But those hurts have been real. Those rejections have been real. And your feelings about them influence your serving and your participation in the building up of the body of Christ. Just think about it. What keeps you from serving the Lord? What keeps you from being involved in ministry in the church with other people? What keeps you from it? It's fear. It's the memories of what happened when you got hurt, when you got rejected. By the way, it is true, rejected people reject people. Hurt people hurt other people. So you realize you haven't only been the rejected, you've been the rejector. You haven't only been hurt, you've been the hurter. And the fear of all of that, the feelings about all of that, keep you from getting involved. Say, well, what needs to happen? Why am I here? You need to be mended. You need to be restored. You need to be prepared. You need to be fully trained. You need to be made complete. You need to be equipped so that you can be involved. That's what this is talking about. Say, but don't I already have all these blessings in heavenly places in Christ? Yes, you do. We have belabored that point for three chapters. Yes, you do. But are you enjoying all of those blessings and benefits that you have? And if you're not enjoying it, you cannot blame that on anybody else. That's only you not enjoying it because you have it all. Say, well, but I'm not enjoying it. Well, then you need your feelings fixed. You need some equipping going on. You need restoration in this stuff. It's all yours in Christ. Now notice the focus of this equipping in verse 12. It is the equipping of the saints. This is not the equipping of unsaved people. Do you realize unsaved people cannot be equipped? They cannot be restored. They cannot be mended. Unsaved people are broken in such a way that the only thing that will help them is a resurrection, not a restoration, a resurrection. They need to be born again. They need to be saved so that they become a new creation in Christ. That's what an unsaved person needs. If you have not yet trusted in Jesus for your eternal salvation, so that you know that you have eternal life and you know you have all of these things that are in Christ in the book of Ephesians. If you don't know that, believe in the Lord Jesus today that He died in your place and for your sins, that He rose again for you to give you eternal life and all of these benefits. And when you trust Him, you will know that you have been saved, forgiven, that that's yours. But you say, well, I am already saved, and I know all this that you're saying, but I'm still not enjoying this, and I'm still not involved in the life and the ministry and all of this. Well, then there's equipping, there's restoring that needs to happen in you. Now, the results of this equipping — And I won't go into it this morning, but the primary means of equipping in the New Testament, it's not in this passage, but the means is the Word of God, prayer, and endurance through testing and suffering. Those are the three things in the New Testament that are means of equipping. The Word of God, prayer, and testing and suffering. Now, what result does equipping accomplish? We're still in verse 12. For the work of service. Equipped believers do what? They serve. They do the work of service. Some of your versions say the work of the ministry. Ministry and service, those are the same thing. It's the word diakonia, the word deacon. And in this sense, what do we see? Every believer is to be a deacon, a servant. Yes, there's an office of the church called a deacon. But that's not what it's talking about here. This is talking about believers serving. For the work of service. Are you equipped, mended, restored, so that you serve, that you serve one another, that you love one another? For the work of service and the rest of verse 12, to the building up of the body of Christ. Now, building up, it is the word oikodomein. The building up of the body of Christ is not talking here about edifying the body of Christ. That's a different word. Oikodomein means to build, like in building a house. Jesus is building his church. So the result of equipping is that you are a partner with Jesus in the building of his church, the building up of the body of Christ. Seeing others added to the church. Seeing others equipped so that ultimately, in this sense, it involves including one another, involving one another, so that is it pastors, teachers, evangelists, prophets, apostles that equip the church? Well, yes, of course. But ultimately, all of the spiritual gifts are involved in the equipping of the church. And so everyone is equipping everyone else. Everyone is involving everyone else. Some of you say, well, I have a job to do. I have a ministry in the church. This is my work. And do you know what? If you're doing it all by yourself, you're not doing it the way the Lord is telling you to do it. Who are you involving in the work that you're doing? That's part of equipping. It's part of equipping. If you don't involve others in what you're doing, do you know how they feel? They feel rejected, left out. Say, but I'm a hard worker. Okay, but this isn't about hard workers. This is about real lovers. This is about lovers of people, involvers of people. Say, well, but the Lord's going to reward me for my hard work. Okay, then work hard at involving other people. At loving them. There's greater reward in that. So those are the results of equipping. Now, the second purpose of the gifted men and what's going on here, that's also the result of equipping, is in verse 13, and that's arriving. New American Standard says, until we all attain to the unity of the faith. I don't like the word attain because to most of you it has the idea of earning something. This is not something that you earn. The idea of that phrase is until we all get there. We arrive at the unity of the faith. Until we all arrive and we all, every believer, will. Every believer will arrive at this eventually. To some, it will take until your glorification for you to arrive at it. For some, it will require the transformation of your body and your being in heaven before you arrive. But we'll all arrive. And that's what the verse says, until we all arrive. Well, what is it that we're going to arrive at? The unity of the faith. The faith. The body of biblical teaching. We will arrive at unity concerning the faith. There will not be any more disagreements over things like doctrine. Now let me ask you, is the body of Christ there yet? Are you there yet? Say, yeah, well, that's the whole reason I come to a Sunday school class, is so that I can have a good argument with somebody, right? Is that the unity of the faith? There will be unity. There will be agreement. Unity of the faith. Now, the focus of that unity of the faith is, and these are equivalent statements, it's the next phrase, and of the knowledge of the Son of God. We could say the unity of the faith, that is the knowledge of the Son of God. Say, well, how will this happen? Because we could name 200 biblical details, and we might have all kinds of disagreement over them. Okay, where do you start with that? The answer is Jesus. The purpose of Christ, the knowledge of the Son of God. Everything that is in Him. What will we arrive at? Unity, yes, but that unity is about knowing Jesus. Knowing not just in your understanding, but in your experience. Knowing, enjoying, fellowshipping, interacting, relating to, communing with Jesus moment by moment by moment by moment. That's eternal life. Is experiencing God, knowing Jesus. It is your experience with Jesus that brings you to what we read at the end of verse 13, to a mature man. A teleion man, that is a man of purpose, fulfilling your purpose. What is your purpose in life? And the answer is not, my purpose is whatever I get to decide my purpose is. If you're saved, your purpose in life is to be like Jesus. To be conformed to His image. To be like him. That is what you have been predestined for. To be like him. Well, how much? To the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. How mature are you going to be? And the answer is, as mature as Jesus. You're going to be so like him that you will be as mature as he is. As loving and as joyful and as shalom, peaceful, as you were created to be in the first place, that is what you will be in Jesus. This is what equipping does. It brings us to this kind of maturity. Equipping enables you to utilize your gifts that the Lord has given you as Jesus intended, which is the fullness of Christ. Back in chapter 1, verse 23, we see that the church, his body, is the fullness of him. Here in chapter 4, verse 10, we see that Jesus fills all things, that he might fill all things. That's with relationship to the church. His fullness, the fullness of his person, the fullness of his gifts, that you will mature until all of that purpose is at work in you and you are like Jesus. Now, when is this happening? The answer is now. Say, well, but yeah, when I die and I get to heaven, yeah, okay. But Paul's talking about being equipped now, about growing and maturing now, so that you will have this unity now. Are you like Jesus now? Are you growing in maturity now? Say, oh no, I'm already as mature as I'm going to get. Well, then you're stuck. Jesus is equipping you through the gifts that he is giving to his church, including gifted men, but also including all of the gifts of everyone, so that Jesus will be loved and adored, so that you will be like him. Is that your desire? Say, well, yeah, I know I'm supposed to be this. And so, yeah, have guilt feelings about it, and I'm saying, no, it's not what I asked you. Is it your desire? You love him. You want to be like him. You enjoy him. You're all involved in him. When that's true, serving is not a problem at all. Heavenly Father, we desire now. We want to express our desire. We desire to be conformed to the image of Christ, to be like him. Lord, we know that's what you're doing in us, and eventually we will all get there. But Lord, we want to be getting there now. Maturing, developing. So Father, I pray for anyone here this morning who has not yet believed in Jesus as their Savior. Lord, that they would do so today and enter into all of these benefits and blessings that are ours in Christ. Believe on Jesus. Trust him. And Lord, I pray for all who have trusted him, that Lord, equipping might deal with all of the fears and hurts and rejections and everything that keeps them from being all that you have made them to be. So, Lord, we look to you. Let's just sing it as a prayer as we close. To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus.